You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm really honored and super excited for today's guest. I want to welcome David Gonzalez to Making Bank. Welcome, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I know everybody knows who you are. You host some awesome internet marketing parties and do lots of super cool stuff, but there's maybe a little percentage out there that don't know you.
Yeah.
So how would you say, hey, this is who I am and this is what I do?
Well, 95% of the time when people introduce me, they either introduce me as the founder of the internet marketing party or a super connector, and then like one of the most connected guys in the internet marketing space, because for the longest time I didn't really know. I tried creating products, I tried different things online,
sure.
and because my network was so saturated with people that were making millions and millions of dollars, and I came and they were good friends of mine,
right.
I never could quite put my finger on which thing to do, so one day I started connecting people,
okay.
and making second tier deals,
oh,
which,
wow.
which
okay.
you know, for those of you watching don't know what that means, it's basically a referral agreement digitally. To where if I connect,
sure.
if I connect Josh with somebody who's got a million subscribers and they promote his stuff, then they'd make money and then I'd get a cut from that. So I started making money that way.
That's awesome.
And after a while, I realized that I was digging a hole inch deep and mile wide, and I wasn't getting anywhere fast. So I created an agency, which is has been the primary revenue driver for
okay.
my household. And recently, I stepped down as CEO from that company. Let one of my teammates gave that to Tanya Williams on our team.
Awesome.
And now I'm focusing on Internet Marketing Party.
Cool. Yeah. And yeah. so, and I guess, what does your agency do? How's it different than other? Because
Yeah. So it's a joint venture, JV, and affiliate management agency.
Okay.
So we represent offer owners that have products that they want affiliates to promote.
Sure.
And so we do recruitment, we do launch management, and we do. Just all the, you know, it's like, for example, we're here at this big giant
right.
event with, you know, 6,000 attendees, and you go to these parties and and masterminds, and people go, dude, we should, let's do something. My list would love your stuff. Your list would love
sure.
my stuff. And then you get home and you've got 15 or 20 of these, but they all have their own little nuances. Like, well, this one wants to match clicks. This one wants to do a CPA. This one wants to do... You know, well, can you promote my launch and I'll promote whatever you want.
This, sure.
So they're not all, it's not just cookie cutter.
Okay.
So our agency makes sure that we represent you and we go, okay, well, this one would work. This one's not likely going to work. Or this one will work, but they have them promote you. You shouldn't promote them because they've got horrible customer service or they
gotcha.
Get a lot of refunds or
right.
they've got kind of a shady,
okay.
you know. So
you guys kind of work out all those little details
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
make sure everything matches up appropriately.
Yep, and then a lot of times, even individuals that have a lot of affiliate and JV relationships, those are really important to happen one-on-one because you're usually talking about the whole digital marketing community with content creators and,
right.
and information and digital product owners has created a species of people that are kind of like micro celebrities.
Okay.
Because they're,
sure.
you know, they're celebrities in the fitness space. You have like Mike Chang or Drew Canole.
Right.
Right. Or in the personal development space, you have like, you know, Lisa Nichols
sure.
or, you know, the people from The Secret, but you go and ask somebody on the street who they are,
they're like,
nobody knows.
Right.
So, but in their own little space, in their relatively little space, they're a big deal in their own space. And so they kind of get this diva thing and everybody wants to talk with the guy or the gal, right.
right?
And so in our agency, because of my reputation and everybody knows me, that serves as a good kind of, like a conduit,
right?
Where
for sure.
It like, you know, if let's say Drew Canole hired us, you know, and he wanted to do a deal with Mike Chang
right.
or Mike Geary or one of the other big fitness people, then they would be okay talking to me. They wouldn't feel like they were being disrespected if
sure.
they were if they talked to just a regular affiliate manager, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of the role we play.
You know, cool.
We help kind of manage all that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so guys. You know, just to really simplify, if you're not familiar with affiliates and joint
oh, yeah.
ventures and everything else, David's a guy, so he would connect you that has a great product, for example, and to a list of people or somebody that can promote you out there. So if you're running Facebook traffic now, or you're using Google and everything, there's a different avenues out there other than just several platforms that you're doing paid ads on that you can generate traffic. So maybe kind of dive into a little bit more about what it is in about an affiliate and like how people can take that and make that work in their business.
Okay, I think you were going down a really good path about understanding that, like having a JV component of your business where there's reciprocation, where
sure.
you mail for them, they mail for you, and then having an affiliate component where you just have people mail for you based, and their reward is the payment.
Right. And there's those are two different areas you guys
and
like
then,
look
and
at.
Then even there, there's two different types of affiliates. There's
okay.
There's affiliates that have endorsed traffic, so they have a following, a fan base. They have
gotcha.
They have a relationship with their email database or their blog readers
sure.
or their YouTube channel or their Facebook page, and people are familiar with them and they know, like, and trust them and the content that they produce. And then there's paid arbitrage affiliates, so affiliates that know how to buy traffic, whether that's through email drops,
okay.
you know, just like a paid email drop. They
right.
they know people with large email lists, and they go, hey, I'll give you $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 for this many clicks.
Okay.
Or people that know how to buy Google ads or Facebook ads or YouTube ads, any sort of ability to drive traffic.
Sure.
And they arbitrage it. They, you know, spend a dollar and make two in the
gotcha
as an affiliate.
Okay.
So those are the three kind of different categories, and knowing that our agency primarily functions with the JV side
okay.
of things, and I think where you were going is something worth highlighting, and that's, you know, the JV side of things is one channel of a business. You
right.
know, you're not going to get rich. I mean, there's some people that are making about $1 million at the highest level
okay.
just doing the JV game, but that's not sustainable because after a while, you know, everybody's promoting everybody else.
Sure.
So you've got to go out and either find sources of paid traffic or find sources of organic traffic. So it's one channel, and it's this tiny little niche that we figured out, and I just fell into it. But does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's where I was going with it. Cause, so for example, like, so my wife owns a skincare company,
mm-hmm.
and for the longest time, it was all organic growth.
Yeah.
So it was just people seeing posts on Facebook and everything. And then with all the changes through social media and Facebook and everything else, then we had to start doing paid traffic
yeah.
and paid promotions and things like that. And just recently, we've started to expand into more affiliate type stuff. So
mm-hmm.
people that love her products, but that have a big following, so
right.
they write an article or they talk about her
right.
and everything. So that's like the kind of the tiny end of affiliate stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then and recently now we've started to go out and look, okay, cool, who would love our product, but then also their fan base would love
right.
our product, and then push it out in their email, as you mentioned, or do live streams and talk about it, and then drive that traffic, and then they would then receive, you know, a percentage of that as well of
mm-hmm.
any sales that came through. So
right.
that's an easy way, I guess, to
yeah.
try to explain it all.
And I think a lot of what our agency provides is the nuances of how to approach, because there's a way to do that.
Sure.
That if you do it too transactionally, people feel like, hey, you want to go home and,
yeah, know, yeah.
as opposed to, hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah.
Great to meet you. Like, gonna get you a drink. You know, let's, you know, you just kind of
get to know them a little better.
Get to know them a little
yeah,
better.
For sure.
And then know what's appropriate and how to do that. So that's a lot of what we do.
Cool. And one of the things you mentioned, he's like, okay, you know, I just kind of fell into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you mean by that? And I guess, how did you get started? Because I know you said you were networking and everything
yeah,
else. But.
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge that that's been my primary driver. But about a month ago, I realized that my soul was dying.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was over leveraging. I genuinely love people and I really
right.
like relationships. And I felt like I was starting, like, just by design, it was shifting how I engaged with people to the
okay.
point where every time I saw somebody, it was like, ooh, how big is their list? And who of my client roster, who can I connect
sure.
them with? And this was me as the CEO
right.
and the founder of the company. And I found that it was heavy. It was weighing on me
sure.
every time I interact with somebody. And it was kind of like a battery. It was draining me down. And so I did a journal every day and I did some meditation and I realized it's time for me to it's a profitable company, it does well, but I don't like it. So
sure.
I stepped down as CEO recently, and so now it's a company I own, but I'm not in the day-to-day operations of
okay.
it. And I still leverage my reputation and my, but I just toss them over to the team.
To the team to handle, yeah, yeah. for sure.
So, but you're, I just felt like it was important to say that because if people watching this think like, oh, you're right. We don't want to have clients come on board if anyone would end up watching this and they go, hey, this is the perfect fit for us.
Right.
And then be disappointed that they're not talking to me.
Sure.
And like, you know, yeah, it's happened before.
I wouldn't have it. No, I'm disappointed now. So
yeah, well, no, I mean, yeah, sorry.
So you guys, you meditated everything else, and I mean, this is interesting. So, and it's really cool because you actually took some action on, you know, you were self-aware of the fact that like, man, this is just not working well internally right. for myself, right. and started to make that change. And so mm-hmm. You mentioned Internet Marketing Party, and that's kind of where your focus is right. going. So how does that then allow you to reconnect and be able to get that energy and that?
It's actually really interesting. What it's done is it's actually revitalized the agency, because now I'm reaching out to people. I've had the IM Party for almost, it'll be 9 years in September.
Wow. Okay.
It's just something I've done as a labor of love, a passion project, right. and I've never given it any real attention.
Sure.
Other than just doing it every month,
right.
and it's become kind of autopilot. But when I decided to step down as CEO, I decided, well, actually Vinny was like, you can't take a salary anymore. Like
right. Like, cause you're not there.
Well, yeah. And so I was like, oh, and that's where my,
in your head, you're like, okay, I'll just step down, but still.
And then I was like, well, wait, it's not like I couldn't make money in other ways, but I was like, what's the leverageable, easy, low hanging fruit? And I was like, well, I've got the Internet Marketing Party list, and I never like nurture it or anything, and
sure.
I don't really. So I should reach out to people that are already members,
right?
And find out like, what do they like about it? What do they not like about it? And people that come to the parties that aren't members, and ask them, why aren't you a member, and what would it take? And in that process, people are just like, is this Dave? Like, you know, and I'll start talking to them and finding out about their business and stuff, and they're like, oh my God, yeah, I, you do affiliate management, right? And I go, well, my other company does. And so I'm starting to, but like, not because I was trying to
bring people. Yeah.
So like, me engaging with people and being genuinely curious has created what I wanted, and it was
right.
unintentional.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That's awesome. No.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's pretty key, because sometimes we're so in our businesses that we kind of really lose touch with what we originally started it for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it sounds like where you went with, you know, everything
yeah.
and being able to step away from that and focus on what you truly love and what you're, you know, being curious and
yeah.
learning about other people's businesses.
You know what kind of, you asked me how I just fell into this. So I live in Austin, Texas, and it's kind of one of the meccas for online entrepreneurs.
Sure.
And I didn't know, I had read 4-Hour Workweek, and I didn't know which approach to take, but I knew that there were all these marketers in town. And so I went to Dallas to a meetup that they were having there
okay.
at a guy named Kevin Wilkie's house
okay.
from Nitro Marketing, and he would put together these mixers once a month at his house. He had a really nice condo in downtown Dallas, and I was like, oh, well, that's cool, except I live in the suburbs, so it wouldn't
right.
be, as, and my house isn't as swanky as his. He was making millions, I wasn't. And so I was like, well, I should probably see a bar downtown, because, and then it clicked, because I was like, well, you know, you go to conferences and marketing conventions and seminars, and there's almost always a big stage with the speaker and
sure.
in the ballroom, and not at certain, but at many of them, they're pitching something, right? And they're
right.
like, go by at the back of the table
right.
and stuff. And I've always been more of a networker, going out in the hallway at the bar.
Sure.
And one day I realized there's a lot more money being made at the bar than in the ballroom, right?
Right.
And so I was like, well, what would happen if we brought the speaker? And every once in a while, the speaker would come off stage, and they'd be like, unmiking themselves and stuff. They'd grab a stiff drink and stuff, and it was like, hey, and then they would change, and like
yeah.
who they really are would show up. And I always like to just be who I really am. I think a lot of people have told me that's my kind of one of my secret sauces. Like, I don't know any other way to be.
Right.
Like when the mic and the camera come off, you're not going to see a different.
You were the same before.
Yeah.
So it's like we were talking before stuff.
I mean, we might not say certain things, but that's just because, well, you know, I mean, you don't want to offend anybody if you don't have to.
We focus on a topic.
Yeah. So either way, I started doing these parties. I was like, well, I invited Perry Belcher to come speak,
sure,
TED Talk style, in the bar in Austin. And it was a bar co-owned by Lance Armstrong. It's called Six Lounge.
Okay.
And I just blasted it out to a whole bunch of different communities. And at that time, there was the Warrior Forum.
No, the Warrior Forum.
Old school Warrior Forum. Eric Louvier was one of the big people in there, and Eric posted it in there, and I was like, oh shit, now I've got to do it. So I did it, and about 50 people showed up, and it was really cool. We would pass the mic around.
Right.
You're like, hi, I'm David, and I run the blah 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 company, and da da da.
Nice.
That's how they started. Sure. And they just, and then I'd invite another speaker, and it started turning into this like cult following of where people would come and like, yeah, once a month we'd show up, and it used to be free.
Right.
And it's how I built my network, and then that's how I, you know, started doing the whole brokering thing, and then one thing led to another, and I decided to focus on individual clients.
Sure.
And that way I could kind of build deeper relationships and focus on them and make a whole mile deep. And that's gone well.
Awesome. So. And I know the party you just did here in San Diego, was there 800,000 people?
There were 1,087 was the final.
So from 50 passing the mic around to over
1,000. Yeah, we didn't pass the mic.
Yeah, it was loud in there, so there was no mic passing.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, everybody, you know, that's kind of the whole talk too. I noticed, you know, when you're at the event or pre at the event, and everybody's like, okay, yeah, it's on the agenda. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are.
Sometimes focused. People get annoyed with it because they come to network, and like sometimes people will literally be meeting someone that they've made over $1 million with,
right,
that they've never met in person, because one guy will be from, you know, London, and the other one's from LA, and they've just met on, you know, they met in a forum, or they were part of a mastermind, something, and they just never met yet, and they was like, well, we should do this together, and they're meeting at the party, and then we get some speaker, like, what could that speaker possibly say that's more important than, oh my God, let me get you a shot. Let's drink, and like, you know, shots
it
all around.
Happens.
And then so it's kind of an annoyance when they're partying, to them when they're partying, and I'm like, everybody, it's time for the speaker. So that's why we opened it up. It's like, if you want to network, go to the other side of the room.
Right, I noticed that.
Yeah, but I think there's something that popped in my mind that I think is worth noting. When you talked about how I got started.
Right.
One of the things that I had heard a lot about was the hedgehog principle.
Sure.
You know, the thing that you could genuinely be the best in the world at is one of the, it's like a Boolean diagram, a Venn diagram. It's one of the circles, and then the other one is something that can monetize, something you can actually make money at, and then something that you actually are passionate about. So it's skill, passion, and money.
Right.
And the more that those three overlap, the more that you're pretty much living a dream, a beautiful,
sure,
like,
yeah,
gorgeous dream that you never want to wake up from, and that you want to just be in forever. Because, you know, I realized everybody who knows Tim Ferriss personally or knows people in his network know that he works more than 4 hours a week. But one day I realized that the way I define it is those, if you're only doing 4 hours of stuff that feels like work,
right,
like work being the stuff that no one wants to do unless you're a monk and you find it meditative, that, you know, chop wood, carry water,
sure,
kind of. I'm talking about work, isn't that like there's a piece of everybody's job that they don't want to do,
right,
you know, yep, either because they're not good at it or because it just weighs on them or whatever. And if you're doing a maximum of 4 hours of that and the rest of it is like Warren Buffett likes to call it tap dancing to work,
yep,
then that's pretty epic. And I was adamant, and I was just very stubborn that I was gonna find that. Like, I didn't wanna just get rich. I didn't wanna just make a product that I wasn't proud of. I didn't wanna just do stuff to be busy again. Like, and so I think that's why it took me so long to figure out what to do, because it wasn't like I was dumb. It was just like, I was like, I want to only do the shit I want to do, you know? So, yeah.
And I think that's important. I mean, because a lot of people, you know, there's, at least I've talked to, is they're searching, okay, what is that? What is that next thing? What is that next, you know, what is, where am I supposed to be at? And one of the interviews I did, we were talking about that, and the way he best explained it was, it's not searching for that one thing, it's the little pieces along the way that are taking you there, even though it may not look like it right away.
Right.
And each of those steps that you're moving along your journey, then you finally get to that point like, wow, I'm actually in doing what I love. It's creating opportunities for me. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's amazing. Because if you're always searching, you're always going to be searching.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not moving forward at all.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in that same spot searching 10 years later.
There's a cool concept. Are you a fan of Buckminster Fuller at all? Like
A little bit, yeah.
So he's got this principle that he really is big on called the law of precession. And it's based on the idea that almost every time in nature with living things, that whenever they have a goal, that their true purpose for doing that is at a 90-degree angle to what they think they're doing.
Right.
And it's kind of feels metaphysical and woo-woo-ish, but he brings it down to like a honeybee. So when a honeybee is out sucking nectar,
right,
from flowers, it's sustaining itself so it can go back and make honey with it. But what it doesn't realize that it's doing is keeping us humans and the planet oxygenated, because every time it does that, it's touching the pollen that falls from the stamen
to
pollinate that flower. Right. It's the honeybee's not out, I'm gonna go pollinate today, you know, I'm gonna go get me some nectar today.
That's right.
And its true purpose is at a 90-degree angle when it falls gravitationally.
Awesome. Right.
So I think that would be something for anybody that's watching and trying to figure out, like, what's my one thing, or I think it's worth like really looking and going like, you know, what's something you can do today that would bring you joy and be valuable, that would, you know, kind of, there's that hedgehog thing, right? It would bring you joy, it would bring value, so it would bring money, and you're actually good at it. So just find, even if it's not the thing, like, start moving in that direction, and the more you do that, you'll be fulfilling a greater purpose. One day you'll wake up and realize, I had 1,000 people at my party, and I can't walk from one part of Traffic and Conversion Summit to another without being accosted.
Right, people knowing. Yeah.
And it's very, very gratifying. I mean, it's just so good on the ego, but I inadvertently built that skill part, because now people want to do business with me because they know Dave knows everybody.
Sure.
And it's what I like. So, but it didn't happen overnight, and it didn't come easy. There were many sleepless nights and horrible tolls on my self-esteem and shit like that, you know, so.
That's awesome.
I don't know if that, are we heading down the road?
No, great content. So what I want to do, kind of switch gears a little bit, since you got a lot of expertise in launches and affiliate stuff, and maybe get a little bit of tactical steps for people, and I guess what are maybe three biggest things that you have found that somebody that has an online business and they're looking, maybe they're growing from that 6 to 7 figures
okay.
or that they can implement to either find JVs or either...
Okay. Well, first, I think it would be important to distinguish between a digital product and a physical product.
Okay.
And then there's almost a secondary sort, which would be for what niche or vertical. We work largely with digital products.
Okay.
So when people do these, you know, Jeff Walker style launches, like the 7-figure launch thing, where you have, you know, you do like a culmination of 2 to 3 weeks worth of, you know, product launch content, 1, 2, 3, where you show people videos and stuff, get them juicy and hungry for more. And there's affiliates that are promoting it, and there's a contest and a leaderboard, and, you know, first prize wins the Tesla, second prize wins $10,000 and a trip to the Grammys and all. So that kind of launch, it's very common for people to call us and say, we're gonna launch. Can you work with us? And we wanna do a $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 million launch. And either I've not heard of them, or I've heard of them, but like they've never done that before.
Sure.
And I'm like, well, when's your launch? Like, when you're launching? And they're like, we want to do it in April, and it's March. And I always tell them, like, the people that you want to promote you that have 100,000 subscribers, 1 million subscribers and more, that can easily drive you 15,000, 20,000 clicks with a single mailing, they have their promotional calendars booked out for 6, 7, 8, 9 months, sometimes upwards of a year.
Right.
So if you want to do a big launch, it's not something you just do overnight. It doesn't matter how well your product converts, because then that's the primary thing, is just timing and scheduling on promotional calendars. The second thing has to do with playing the game from a place of courtesy and respect. So I went to a conference a couple years ago where people were saying, like, it was some women that were talking, and they've gotten huge social media followings and email lists. I think it was Emily Rosen from Institute of the Psychology for Eating. She was saying, like, so many people are coming up to me, and they're like, it's no longer getting down on one knee and proposing, like, will you marry me? It's, will you mail for me? Like, you know. Right. And so anybody that you want to promote you, you have to know that. If they're your dream affiliate to promote your launch, you should expect that a minimum of 7 to 10 times a week, someone else is asking them to do the exact same thing.
Wow.
So you have to show up with respect and honor and stand out, you know, and courtesy and stand out from just another. So that's where you want to build relationship and give first, do the whole Cialdini reciprocation thing, where you add value or stand out in a positive way, and like that's where you can get creative and use your marketing mind, and like, you know, it's almost like you're courting a really, you know, hot person of the opposite sex. Like, you know, you'd like plan, I don't know, you know, in college you'd like, there's that girl you had a crush on and you knew she got out of class at that time, and you were conveniently always, you know,
waiting around, taking notes
or doing, you know, studying right outside that hallway. So increasing your chances of that person noticing you instead of you, you know, hunting and chasing,
right?
Make it to where, what things can you do to where you show up in there? And here's one thing you can do, is if you can drive a lot of traffic and you know that there's someone, you want to get to know their ethos, their ecosystem,
okay,
of the world that they play in. So you would want to know what are the launches that are going on. And if you can drive a lot of traffic, here's a tactic that I've seen Justin Livingston use.
Okay.
So Justin spent $100,000 in paid traffic to get number one on Jeff Walker's launch about 2 or 3 years ago, right? Why did he do that? Well, it was on the front end, you're like, what the, you know, that, but it was really well leveraged, because what he did is now all of a sudden, it was free advertising, because here's another key takeaway. There are two marketplaces in our industry. There's the end user that will actually consume or at least purchase your product. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then there's the almost the primary marketplace, which is your peers that have large amounts of your audience inside of their database. And so if you only focus on selling the end user, you will fail at this affiliate and JV game. You really need to focus on your primary user for you, which is your affiliates and your JVs. Because if you've got your product taken care of, like, that's just gonna handle itself.
Right.
Like, it's like, you know, polishing a diamond so much that you get a blister. Like, it's polished, it's shiny. Like, like, even if it's got blemishes, like, you know, it's still valuable. But focus on the setting for the diamond, I guess, you know, which would be your affiliates and your JV. It'd probably be the other way around in a way. But I like to go on tangents. Bring me back.
So that was the second point that you kind of moved into, but you were going back to the first. Why Justin Livingston spent $100,000.
Yeah, he spent $100,000 because now he was advertising to his primary. See, Justin wasn't like, you know, Jeff Walker's people that usually promote him and are at the top of the leaderboard are going to be like Brendan Burchard, Frank Kern, Eben Pagan, you know, the names you've heard for years, the people that you've bought their products back 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, all the students of Corey Rudel, you know. So anyway, but then all of a sudden, you know, Justin Livingston wasn't in that community, but he had a big community in the personal development, coach, speaker, author space, but he wanted to show up there, so he bought a ton of traffic, ended up, and by the way, first prize for Jeff Walker's launch, and that launch was $100,000.
Right.
So third of all, Jeff Walker's product converts. So let's say and I'm not suggesting you should do this. I'm suggesting that it's an example of how to
position yourself
so that now people are calling right after that happened, like,
right.
Who's this Justin Livingston guy? How big's his list? Like, nobody knew he was buying traffic. They just assumed
right.
this dude can drive a shit ton of traffic, because at the end of the day, you don't care where it comes from. You just
right.
know that it happens. And so that's an example of showing up so that people, changing the frame or the positioning where people are following you and chasing you. So yeah, you want to have enough time. You want to respect and be courteous and change the frame so that people want to come to you. And in the courteousness or the respect, and that's also the adding value first piece. So
sure.
Do those three pieces make sense?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Sometimes I'm so close to it, I over-jargonize or, yeah.
No, definitely. I think that's great. And then, so I know you said there's some overlap, and we only got a few minutes left. But for like a physical product,
yeah,
you know, how does that change up a little bit?
Physical products are different in that. First of all, usually when you've got a physical product, the people that are going to be best to JV with are going to be people that also have physical products.
Okay.
And physical products have much smaller margins. You're not able to give 50% payouts, 60% payouts, or even 40 or 30. Like you do on even the ones that have a coaching or a software element to them. So when you're talking about supplements or other physical products, sometimes your margins, I mean, that's why if you're an Amazon affiliate, like you get 1, 2, 3, 4%,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to play the game differently and know that it's going to be more of a volume, not a game, like
okay.
high volume, lower margins.
Right.
That's going to be a lot more relationship building, and your conversions need to be through the roof. Your product's got to be genuinely, genuinely unique for you to get a lot of other people to promote it. Because if you've got a protein supplement, it's going to be hard for another protein
right.
supplement person to promote you, right?
Sure.
So you know, it's a more nuanced game.
Yeah, so. And so probably too, even for a product space, would be more, so for like our skincare, it would be more aligning people that are health conscious, health focused,
yeah.
instead of another skincare company or something.
Aside from saying that it's more nuanced, is it's more of a 2 or 3 step approach.
Right.
You're not okay. just mailing straight to it. You would do a strategy session and find out what would be a good way to put me who has this, or you who has this skincare line.
Right.
In front of, let's say, Wellness Mama,
right? For example,
and
yeah,
like
for
so
sure.
that it doesn't just come off as like, hey, you know, this skincare line,
right?
But it's like, what's something? What's an angle, a spin, or a hook that is secondary or tertiary to your skincare line, but that as you unveil the story, the skincare line is like embedded perfectly right in there. Like it's almost like product placement.
Right, yeah.
So then you do like an interview on
sure.
on wellness and you know the fact that the skin is the largest organ of the body.
Right.
It could be like, you know, why the largest organ, you know.
That's you know, what my wife talks about. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You'd be like, you know why you need to take care of the largest organ on your body, and it's not what you think. You know, and like
right.
kind of be funny about it and
hook
stuff
it out there.
Like.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and then, I don't know, I'm just riffing here, but it would be more a matter of creating a primary way to get in front of them to build a relationship and trust with
sure.
the product owner that isn't a blatant promotion of the product, so that then they get endeared to that person, subscribe to their list, tag them to the original sender,
right.
and then they'll want to do it again. And then there's going to be an element of adding a juicy commission structure, terms that would make it to where they get lifetime commissions. And that's another way to do it. That would be a matter of identifying like who's an influencer.
Okay.
That you would, if they promoted your physical product,
sure.
that a lot of other people in their network
would want to,
would that could promote, would want to.
Right.
So then you would create a real hyper favorable term with the influencer, even if you ended up losing or breaking even.
Okay.
But then that would be almost like a foot in the door, and you would probably only make those terms temporary. You
okay.
wouldn't make them for life.
For life,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Awesome.
But, you know, they'd still be good over time or something. And that's where you've got to, it's a deal maker
right.
thing.
For sure.
Yeah, and knowing your lifetime value would matter a lot more in physical products, because sometimes if you're going to have somebody promote for you and they've got a lot of shady, you know, like
right.
a lot of refunders on their list, and even just knowing someone's list isn't enough. It's one of our past clients, Sean Hadsall, in the fitness space, Get Lean. So the Get Lean space, he's one of BioTrust's biggest affiliates.
Oh, sure.
But he taught me early on, because I was like, man, I just hooked this up with a person that's got 600,000 subscribers. Or over a million subscribers. It's Jesse Canone from Healthy Back Institute. He's my boy. And he's like, Dave, we need to talk. I don't really get impressed by how many subscribers somebody have. Can you find out how many buyers he has on
sure.
this list? And I was like, oh. I kind of was deflated.
It took you down.
But then I was like, oh. But it was one of those distinctions. So there's another key takeaway. Whenever you're talking to people, if you want to do a JV, don't ask how many subscribers on the list. Ask how many buyers. And you should know how many buyers you have too, and start using that as a talking point with people, because sometimes people, it's almost a pattern interrupt.
Yeah, because they always hear list.
Yeah, it's like, our list is 300,000, blah, blah, blah. And you go, excuse me, can you tell me how many buyers you have on
sure.
it? And they'll go, oh, I'm not really sure. And all of a sudden, you know, at the end of the day, we're all always selling or trying to one-up each. Especially in masterminds, like everybody's wanting to be smarter and cooler.
I know, not
in a bad way. Yeah. It's like it's a healthy competitiveness, right?
Sure.
It's survival, and it's kind of Darwinian type of thinking. It's not a bad, is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, so there's some tactical stuff, I hope.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah, no, it's an honor to have you on the show today and just sharing your insights and some of your story and your background and kind of where you've come and how you're positioning yourself now moving forward, finding that love again and everything. So, and definitely the tactical strategy. So I hope you guys were definitely taking notes. If you're looking to do any kind of affiliate stuff, expand or grow your business, and you haven't even looked at that yet, that may be a whole other area for you to take a look at. Have another channel other than just Google and Facebook or social media and everything, is start reaching out and finding people that you can connect with and that love what you're doing and you love what they're doing, and start creating those relationships, or just reach out to David because he's got a lot of them already handled. So where can people find out about you?
InternetMarketingParty.com is where my main focus is going now, and the agency is SimplyTheCoolest.com.
Simply the coolest.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
There's a story behind that name, but yeah.
Cool. And then last thing is just what's one piece of technology that you can't live without?
I mean, aside from my iPhone or my laptop, do you mean like an app?
Whatever,
like software?
Whatever you think that'll help people.
I mean, I think an iPhone or a laptop is, like, if you don't have one of those, you shouldn't.
Right.
How are you watching this?
Yeah.
I know one for our agency, if there's any agency or people that have a big team, and it doesn't have to be this one, but we use Front.
Okay.
It's just as a, I think there's another, it's a group email management system.
Okay.
So it makes it to where I can see your emails, you can see my emails, everyone on everybody's can see each other's emails.
Sure.
So that if I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, someone else can manage my... It was originally designed as a customer service email platform.
Sure.
So that, like, you know, you're just handling
multiple
tickets.
Reps, yeah.
I think there's another, the other one's called but basically, because right now most people, you have your email account, right?
Right.
And if somebody emails you and you get overwhelmed, you're either sick, you're on vacation, you're at a conference.
Right.
It creates a bottleneck. So if you have an executive assistant or you have other people, support people on your team, they can filter through and leave only the ones that are critical for you only. And then the whole that filters down to the whole team, right?
Because sure.
even if you have an assistant and they are in an accident or they just can't come to work or whatever, now their emails can be handled. And now you create more of a synergy in the team where everybody's got each other's back, because let's face it, email these days is
everybody's getting tons.
Yeah, but it's an integral part of the business, and I think a lot of people are handling email as still like a silo thing. Like, this is my email address and my account, and almost like the way your Slack or your Skype. Like,
sure,
you won't, if I sent you a link to something juicy, like no one else can see it, right?
Right.
But if I sent you that and you want somebody else to see it, they can't. Well, so what these email platforms allow you to do is have your whole team
part of
be
it.
Able to...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Is that good?
I wasn't familiar with that one, so that's really cool. Phenomenal.
Yeah. It's a little tricky to set up at the beginning, but it's
once
worth
it's
it.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Cool. You just get whoever's technical and does well with complexity and stuff to do
that. Right. Yeah. Cool. Well, awesome. It was an honor. Thank you for your time today, and really appreciate you coming on Making Bank, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And shout out to Vinny Fisher, who connected us twice, kept trying to make it happen.
Yep, for sure.
Love he that guy
kept
so
poking
much.
Us.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. Well, I'm Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, and sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.